Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. We had one of those moments earlier where producer Mike did one of these things. Hey, you got to see this. You see what happened in the Blues game? You got to see this. I walked into the studio maybe 2 minutes after it happened. Hey, you got to see this. Producer Mike, that's exactly what you sound like. If anyone has, if you don't know what producer Mike sounds like, hop on the mic here real quick. This is how he sounds like. Hey, you got to see this. Go ahead.
Check, 1, 2. This is what I sound like.
Uncanny.
I don't sound like Fat Albert.
Uncanny, my impersonation of you. Hey, come check this out. So I get into the KMOX studios.
Like Wolfman.
And this is in the first period. Blues playing Florida and a big win from the Blues here earlier tonight. This happens.
5 minutes, 11 seconds gone. We're in the first period. Blues and Panthers, no score. Blues 0-for-2 on the power play.
Ooh. Oh, it's winning!
They jump in and they shoot and they score it! That shot hit the referee, I think. He ducked down out of the way.
No, he didn't. It hit the referee. If this were America's Funniest Home Videos, there would have been a boing, ooh, that would have hurt. The host would have done a stupid, silly voice. Ooh, right in the crunch. They would have gave the guy $10,000 on the spot. They would have voted him right in.
That was off of Timmy Peel, and then somehow that puck deflects in, and Roberto Luongo's going, what in the world just happened there?
He's laughing.
Is Robert Bortuzzo's shot?
It looked like it wasn't even a shot. It looks like he dumped it in. The ref was in the corner, and as it was being dumped in, it hit the ref what looked like right in the groin, bounced off of him, almost right along the line, and it sneaks in past Luongo into the goal. Now, you can't score by knocking it off a goalie, unfortunately, but man, was that entertaining to see. And that, oh, the ref, yeah, you can't score off of knocking it off a ref directly, as I found out. I can't remember too many instances where this sort of thing has happened, but was that entertaining? Now, the ref went down for the count and didn't want to get up. I looked at his face, and you can tell it was a mixture of pain and I can't believe this is happening. So he was down on the ice. They nearly brought a stretcher out for this guy. Like, he was down for a long time. You would have thought they broke the glass with that shot. As in, that's how long it would have taken to put new glass on the boards. It was a long time. So eventually he's off. Then he goes back into the locker room after something like that. Now, that was a fun moment. But as soon as I get into the studio, that's what I hear producer Mike, oh, you got to see this. Sounds just like you.
You know, since you sound like the last time you impersonated me.
Just real quick, since you are leaving out of town, you're going on some vacation time, you're going to enjoy yourself. I wanted to ask you about some of your Christmas memories because I want to include you as part of this special.
Fine.
What was your favorite toy? Do you remember? Did you have one when you were a kid? Something you were just so excited to get that it just overwhelmed you with joy?
Definitely. It was my PlayStation 2. And the reason it stuck out so much was because I was the last kid to get PlayStation 1. It was already like an old thing by the time I finally got it. PlayStation 2 came out, you know, within the year that I finally got the original PlayStation. So the next Christmas comes around and me and my sister don't even bother asking for a PlayStation 2, even though it's what we really want, because we know we're going to have to wait again. It's just not, my parents weren't always, you know, giving us the most up-to-date game system, which is fine. They wanted us outside and playing. But then they surprised us that Christmas with a PlayStation 2, and yeah, it was a combination of the surprise and just how cool it was at the time that
what was the game you got with it?
A lot of time on it. I got NHL Faceoff 2001.
Ooh.
With Curtis Joseph on the cover.
Was that a PlayStation 2 game or a 1 game?
That was PlayStation 1, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
It would have been right around that same time.
Yeah, I think I got I got Need for Speed.
Well, no, PlayStation 2 came out in 2000, 99, 2000, somewhere in there. Need for Speed, okay. A lot of those games were...
It was Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, the one where you could be the cop and...
ooh, that sounds like fun.
Race after your buddy and throw spike strips in front of his car.
Oh, I love those
drop,
games.
Drop exploding barrels out of the helicopter to stop him.
When you only needed really like two or four buttons to play a game. Now, today, there's about 30 different button combinations. So essentially learning how to type again to try to play a game.
And like
too
now,
much.
Now if you look back at those graphics from 2000, you know, they look brutal. But back then, I remember, you know, it was like the dad thing to walk in and be like, this is a game? I thought this was a real race.
State of the art.
I thought that was a real hockey
game. I know. I remember back when I got NHL 98 for the PC. And they put actual people's faces on the players. And you could zoom in and look at their face, even though it barely looked like them. But you can kind of, you know, squint your eyes. You're like, wow, that's them. I thought that was as good as it gets. That was 20 years ago that thing came out. All of those old games. So you remember that. You remember getting it. Did you freak out like the one kid, the viral video where he's getting a Nintendo 64? Did you grab the box and scream at the top of your lungs?
I don't know if I did that. I probably did that when I got a couple of the nice hockey sticks that I had always wanted and had to wait till Christmas for.
So there's you screaming, ah! And then in slow motion, ugh!
Yeah, I was probably too in shock by the PlayStation to go that crazy.
So you passed out when you came to, your sister had it plugged in and was already playing it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Producer Mike, have fun with your trip. Have a safe trip. I look forward to seeing you when you get back.
I've only come back to the studio with a broken bone once from this trip. So
what bone?
It was a fractured heel.
Yikes. Fractured heel. And that's not a good one to get.
It was kind of good because it was when I first started. It was the first time that I was scheduled to run Mark Reardon by myself for like a 1.5-2 week period because Dave Klein was going out of town or something. And because of the broken heel, I got out of it.
Nice. So,
yeah.
Way
come
to go,
a long
man.
Way. I love running Mark's show now, but I remember being scared of it then.
You were the heel, like in wrestling.
Yeah.
Kevin Killeen joins us next. We're going to talk about the holiday radio show and maybe a little bit of Christmas talk in there, too. He has another great one planned for you on Monday. KMOX.com/holiday. Get your tickets if you haven't already. It's such fun to see it in person. It's such a great time. Of all the different shows you can go to, I'm telling you, to see a live radio drama like this, it's so rare. You're not going to find this anywhere else. Plus, it's a great way to meet us because we stick around after. And go ahead and listen to this interview with Kevin next. Overnight America, KMOX. Doesn't this put you in the Christmas spirit? Don't you get a little more excited this time of year? I feel like I'm less grinchy this year. Am I less or more grinchy, or the same amount of grinchy? I don't know. Welcome back to Overnight America. And next Monday is the holiday radio show. Joining us now is our very own Kevin Killeen, my favorite person in St. Louis.
How do you feel about this year's holiday radio show? You feeling pretty good about it?
Yeah, you know, I'm always glad when they're finished, and I turn them in with great expectation that people are going to just turn every page, but they don't read them until the last minute. Mm-hmm. You, for instance.
Yeah, I went to just my part, so I highlighted
some places.
What
everybody does.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun because everybody just has a puzzle piece of the whole until rehearsal.
So I do a Bigfoot mating call in this show?
Yes, and it's inspired by your opening to Overnight America, which I think is the best opening of any show on KMOX.
No, I'm glad you like that. I did an extended one yesterday. We had a guest in studio, and producer Mike goaded me. He said, you never do a long one when there's a guest in here. You're always too shy. So I said, fine. So I did the longest one I could do yesterday with a guest in studio. It felt unnatural, but it was fun.
Well, your part is inspired in part by my brother, Tom, who lives in California, and he's a Bigfoot enthusiast.
Oh, okay.
He hooked up with some guys from somewhere in the South, Alabama or someplace, and they went out in the woods on a Bigfoot night watch with night vision goggles, and they listened for wood knocking sounds. That's apparently what Bigfoot does. And well, first, he said they went to Cracker Barrel, and they got a gravy-laden dinner, and he said these were the nicest people in the world, these Bigfoot people.
Yeah.
So it's a small part of the play, but you know, it's about you're related to a character that the parents are trying to set up with a wife, and Well, the dad, he's having, memory problems. And so he, unwittingly invites somebody who ends up bringing a bunch of Bigfoot Night Watch people to meet his daughter.
This is number what? How many of these have you?
I think about 21.
Wow, 21.
Yeah. We took 1 year off because my wife was having a baby and we were having a bathroom remodeled. So those two things were just
too much to overcome.
Yeah, you can't write a play when there's plaster dust everywhere.
And how many people on staff have been to every single one of them? Or, like, what's the record? Who's been to the most of these holiday radio shows?
Well, Carol Daniel, probably Roger Brand.
So they're one and two right around there.
Yeah, I would say Bill Reeker, but he retired.
Yeah.
Bill was great.
He had a long
stretch. Bill could have been an actor.
Yeah?
He said to me once, I'm going to play this part kind of like, and he mentioned some movie star. And I said, Bill, don't do that because it'll seem like you're imitating somebody everybody knows. I said, just think of like a relative and do it. And so he imitated this crusty old uncle who used to curse the rain and say, that's about enough of that. And so he came out with this fully formed character that nobody knew, but it was just seemed like a real person. And he was that person for the whole night.
Wow.
And it was funny.
It's therapeutic in a way. You don't do a lot of performing. Do you mostly introduce and sit back and follow along?
No, I'm terrible. I can write it, but Reardon was sick, and so I had to play Reardon's small part, and I lost my place, and I couldn't find a mic that was free. I had to run back to the sound effects table and lean into a little mic there.
Wow.
So I have the utmost respect for people that can follow the script, look at the other actors, and sort of create a feeling like this is all really happening and not lose their place.
I can't think of any other radio stations that put this much effort into putting a production like this together, a live show in front of an audience every year around the holidays or anytime, really. That's pretty impressive. It's a fine tradition, I think, KMOX.
It's fun. Yeah. I mean, I'll admit I hate it. I hate having to write it, but once it's, and some of the players complain we have to do that thing again, but once they get up there, it is fun to ham up, and the scripts always put them in terrible jams, and they love being funny and in the situations that they find themselves in.
Wow, 21 years, that's a long time. With the holiday radio show, has it always been in the Sheldon Concert Hall, or has it been in different locations?
It's moved around sort of like a skin rash. It started at the Westport Playhouse in the Circular Theater there. And those were the days when Jack Buck would say, if some trucker driving across the country heard this, he'd say, what the hell's going on? He was our MC. And then it jumped to the Loretta Hilton in Webster Groves, to the Sheldon. There was some other place it went.
Yeah,
I can't think of it. It was about three or four places.
Okay. And have you ever been kicked out of a place? Like last year, the fire alarm went off, and I thought, oh, boy, could this be the first year?
In the beginning of the performance at the Sheldon, which is adjoined to a gallery, an art gallery, somebody jostled a painting, and the emergency alert system went off like there was oil painting theft going on.
Oh, yeah.
And that happened right at the beginning of the show. They were able to work around it. The painting wasn't missing. It was just bumped.
Yeah. You have to get pretty close to a painting to bump it. I mean, normally there's etiquette or there's some sort of red velvet rope that would protect the painting from getting you too close. You do the sound effects too. That's kind of neat. You get the whole feel for it. Do you orchestrate the sound effects too, or do you have someone that goes through the script and they come up with their own sound effects?
A little bit of both. We were going over that just today with Valerie Buckley. She's the commercial producer for KMOX, and she loves that kind of stuff. She does it with Paige Kluge, an events coordinator. And Valerie said, well, how are we going to do thunder? She wanted to just have it recorded. I said, well, you can do thunder with a piece of, like a tin sign, like an old Coca-Cola sign. Just wobble it, and it sounds like thunder. So,
all the tricks.
What are some of the others?
You talked about cornflakes as in walking through the snow. You have that kind of feel to it.
Or if somebody runs up a staircase, we have a pair of shoes on the desk.
I don't know if you know this, but in California at the headquarters of YouTube, if you want to go record, you can. They have their own sound effect room where you can go make your own sound effects. They have a room where they have things built into the floor, and they have like these trap doors you can open up, and there's different elements you could use for different stomps and things. their whole sound effect room if you really wanted to do that. Maybe one day, California bound, you can go visit your brother. You can go check that out. Make your own sound effects for the radio holiday show.
Yeah, I'd love to do all the sound effects live. Some of them, though, like a car door opening and closing, you just have to record that ahead of time because you can't bring a car on stage.
Yeah. How many years did Jack Buck, how many was he involved with?
I think it was three or four.
Chris Smyhill told me a story about him, and maybe you can tell me if this is true or not.
What's that?
He would show up, and what a professional this guy was. You would hand him the script, probably the first time he saw it.
Oh, yeah.
And he would have just adoring fans, everyone, as in staff and people that hadn't
seen it for
a while.
Give me your autograph.
Yeah, people would come up to him.
He was so gracious.
And Chris would give him instruction, like, here's what I need you to do, here's what I need you to do. And he'd be like, yeah, as if Chris said, there's no way he remembered all that. And then he would get out on stage, and he did exactly everything you wanted him to do. He was such a pro. And you had no idea he was able to absorb all of these things while people were just, they couldn't get enough of him. Everyone was running up to him.
He made a second career out of being master of ceremonies and, you know, writing things on a napkin all the time at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a big family, and I think the story was he needed the extra money, and so he started hosting all these banquets.
Hmm.
And it's an art form to be a master of ceremonies and think of the right joke and say hi to people in the audience. He was great.
You were great at Johnny Rabbit's deal at the History Museum.
Oh, thank you.
And we're able to talk about the holiday radio show.
Tell people about that. That was like a tour through old St. Louis radio with lots of clips and, you know.
Yeah, that was the first time.
People who used to be young on the radio.
Pictures of Johnny Rabbit wearing, or he had a mustache and Tim changing his clothes up. He had a couple of different.
Yeah, he looked like an LSD merchant or something. He had dark glasses. I didn't realize he started Casey.
Yeah.
I mean, now, I mean, I think of him as, you know, a pharmacist, Neil Vitan. But he was a rocker.
The one publicity photo of the cats on him. Did he say he had catnip or something they rubbed on him? And they bring all these cats in.
Sardine oil.
Oh, sardine oil.
He played a postal delivery man with a bag and a hat, and he was surrounded by five cats all clinging to him.
How come when we had our staff photos, they didn't offer us sardine oil and cats as an option?
I don't know, but, you know, my photo, I look like a criminal or something. I don't take good pictures.
I've seen them online. I want to see yours now. You don't like the way yours turned out?
It's all right, but you know.
You need something for people to, because when they come up to you asking for your autograph, they need to have something.
A big problem.
Has anyone asked you for your autograph? Like, would you go out on the street and someone would come up to you and ask for an autograph?
Just, you know, my children sometimes.
Permission slips.
Yeah.
Things like that.
I say, you know, ask your mother.
Ask your mother. The name of the holiday radio show. That's a great way to work it in. It's this upcoming Monday night. Tickets are still available at KMOX.com. /holiday? And you can purchase them online. I think you can even get them by just searching it on KMOX.com.
Yeah, or MetroTix.
MetroTix. That's
534-1111.
Yeah. Give them a call. And we would like for anyone listening here to come out and have some fun. If you like the idea of just being part of a live radio program, it will be on KMOX live on the air, but it's so much more fun to see it come together. It's so cool.
I mean, it would be like if the KMOX staff did a NASCAR race and you think they're going to crash. You get to think, all right, how is this going to collapse in a disaster?
Yeah.
Because there are some moments, there have been moments, one that comes to mind where Harry Hamm walked onto the stage, an empty stage, and he was going to play a scene with another person, and that person was back in the green room and forgot her cue.
Mm.
And the time stretched and stretched, and Harry just looked around, and they started laughing at him, and so he just played the scene by himself. And that person left without saying goodbye to anybody.
Oh, embarrassed, yeah.
Yeah, but she came back to do a great job the next year.
Oh, that's great. Kevin Killeen, Ask Your Mother. That's the name of the holiday radio show for this year, Monday night, Sheldon Concert Hall. Get your tickets. Come experience it in person. It's a lot of fun. Kevin, thanks for sitting down.
Thank you.
He's awesome. Isn't he great? Love Kevin Killeen, some of these stories. All right, I got a couple of great food stories I want to share with you. How many months could you live off of just mints if you really had to? What's that movie with Tom Hanks where he's stuck in the airport? Terminal? and he was scrounging for meals, and he was eating the crackers at fast food restaurants or whatever. And then he found out he can get a quarter every time he returns a cart, and he was buying Whoppers and things after that. If you had to live just on mints, one guy did. He willingly did this. I wonder how much money he saved doing it. Coffee surveys out. There's a bacon vending machine. I got all kinds of great food stories for you. That's coming up. Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Ah, some great stories there. Good old Christmas stories. I got some awesome food stories to share with you. This is kind of a sign of the times, really. A little chapel where travelers could go pray at the Lambert Airport here in St. Louis being shut down to make way for a food shop. That's the sign of the times, man. Said, I'm very disappointed, and I think it's a shame that the service of faith has been sacrificed at the altar of retail. That's what a local reverend said, Roderick Burton, with the new Northside Missionary Baptist Church. The story at KMOX.com. Spokesperson for the airport says that the decision was made because of a growing passenger volume in the terminal and long lines of people waiting for food. The chapel will be closed December 17th, so about 5 days from now. And a food shop is expected to open there by the spring. And there it is. Lewis Reed, president, alderman, issued a statement by saying he's deeply disturbed by the decision and asked it to be reconsidered. It's okay. You have a space and you have people that want that space. But did you have to sacrifice the chapel for that? The one place some people could go there if they needed just a quiet time. You act like people don't have bad news that has sprung on them at airports. This is not the most wonderful place in the world. Does anyone say, man, for my vacation, I just want to hang out at an airport all day? No one says that. Airports are normally a miserable experience. You're getting up early. You're getting there. You're getting through security. Got to take your shoes and belt off. You're treated like your belt's going to be able to turn something into a bad situation. I don't even want to speculate or even go down that road. But then you get in there and you're waiting and people are coughing and there's people that are loud and you can't get a spot where you can plug in your phone and you're bored and they're not calling your name and there might be a delay and the food is overpriced and you're hungry and you're thirsty and you don't want to use the bathrooms. And yeah, there's a million things going on and no one's comfortable at an airport. Those chairs are made so you're uncomfortable. And then imagine getting a phone call and something terrible just happened. Something about a loved one or who knows what. Or who, maybe you're traveling somewhere because of a loved one and you're worried about them and you got some time to spare. And you have that one place you can go to where you'll be alone. You don't have to hear all the kids screaming and you don't have to hear all the other people swearing. And you can just go into some prayer and you have that little chapel you can go into. Well, not anymore at Lambert. Well, that's a shame. That's something that they should reconsider. I agree with Lewis Reed. I think the ability for some people to get away from it when they need that moment is important. Now, are they saying there's literally no other place in the entire airport where they would be able to put some other sort of food commerce in there? Like they need some more of that sort of thing. And are the lines so long that it's worth the sacrifice? I don't think so. But you can find that on KMOX.com. Closing the chapel, huh? There's another story in the Daily Mail. Pizza delivery man decided he wanted to survive on just 100 calories a week. How's that even possible? You must have been shedding weight. And how unhealthy is that? There's no way any doctor okayed this. No rational or real doctor okayed this. The same doctor that the doctors that go in there and say, oh, no, that's totally logical. I don't think you should vaccinate your kids anytime. And yeah, you know, polio's, you don't have to worry about them. But some of the times you see these doctors that come out and they offer some really questionable advice and you wonder to yourself, is anyone listening to this guy? Well, I don't know who he ran this by. He's 38 years old. He lives near Liverpool. And he claims that he has never felt hunger because for the past 3 months, he's only been eating mints. You know, like those little Altoid mints or whatever type of fresh mints that you prefer. Despite fasting for long periods of time, he says that he never struggles to resist the food he delivers to customers, which is a pizza. And he's never been happier or healthier. I don't believe it. He drinks water sparingly. He says sometime only once a week. This guy's got to be lying. There's no way that's possible. I every, let's see, maybe 15 years ago or so, every time I've been inside of a competition to lose weight, I normally fare pretty well because I'm competitive and I like to try to win these competitions. Now, the competitions I used to get into at when I worked in Ohio, it was based on body percentage. So it's not the total amount of pounds you lost. It was a percentage of the pounds you lost. So you can have someone that's larger than me and drop more pounds. But because, you know, I weigh like 155 or so, because I can drop 10 pounds, 15 pounds, the percentage was a lot higher if I really committed myself to losing weight. And I did. Like, I used to run. I would watch what I ate. But I can tell you that I could never be so committed or dedicated to just eating one type of food for 3 months. Even if it was something healthy like salad, eat whatever salad you want. I could probably do that for 2 weeks. And then I would crave going to fast food, or I would crave pizza so much, I wouldn't be able to resist it, period. I would just, it wouldn't matter. I'd say, I don't care if I win this competition or not. I just want to eat a full pizza. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to put this large down, and there's nothing you're going to do to stop me about it. That old Saturday Night Live skit where you have Chris Farley, Adam Sandler, David Spade, and they're at the Gap and they're like, oh, you should slow down on those fries. And Chris Farley puts his neck around David Spade. Lay off me, I'm starving. That was me. How does this guy only survive on mints alone? So he said, I felt this was something that I could have done my whole life. My mom always worried about me and still is. She often cooks for me and I have to tell her no to bother and not to bother and I won't touch it. What a madman. He's even got someone cooking for him. If he was in direct access to a bacon vending machine, do you think he would give it all up? I think the smell of bacon alone would be enough for me to give it all up. So in Ohio State, the Ohio Pork Council has added a bacon vending machine to the campus of the Ohio State. The machine, located in the Animal Science Building at the College of Food, Agricultural, and Environmental Sciences, supplied this sort of thing. You can get bacon ready to eat for $1. So you put $1 in, and a slice of bacon pops out, cooked. The baking vending machine, a unique and fun way for the Ohio Pork Council to support Ohio State students. I would so do that. That's like, I don't normally buy things at our vending machine here at KMOX. We have this futuristic type of vending machine deal, which is, it's a mini mart, they say. So we have all of the products on a shelf. You ever been to one of these mini marts at a hotel? It's very limited type of chips and drinks you can get, but it's all on a shelf, and then you scan it and pay for it, and it's either sent right to your room bill or you can pay for it there. That's kind of what we have here. So you can walk into KMOX and they have a bunch of, like, they have a shelf full of chips and snacks, and they either have a vending machine of cold things like drinks and sandwiches or whatever, and then you pick out what you want, you scan it, and you can pay for it with credit card, and then you walk away. There's, I guess technically speaking, if you could walk up and be a big giant thief, they might catch you because they got these cameras pointing at it. But I've never been tempted to use that. I just don't feel the need. Now, if they put a bacon vending machine back there, you better believe I'd be there every day. I wouldn't be able to help myself. A dollar here, dollar there. My wife would look at the credit card bill and say, well, why did you spend $100 on food at the radio station this month? Well, I couldn't help it. I'm on a three pieces of bacon diet a day. Get off my back, man. What I should do is buy a pound of bacon, keep it in the fridge here, and just microwave bacon whenever I want it. We have a stove, but it'd probably be easier to microwave it with all that, with a million paper towels. They're trying to be very eco-friendly here at the radio station, so I'll just use a million paper towels, cook it in the microwave, and be good with it. Then the whole station will smell like bacon, and they can thank me for that. I like those type of gimmicky vending machines. Those are good ones. Here's another one, too. For all my coffee drinkers out there, there's a study that says you should stop drinking coffee first thing in the morning. Lay off me, man. I'm going to do what I want. Why? Because this is America. And if I want to drink coffee first thing in the morning, I don't have to listen to you. So here's what it says. Scientists have found that there's a better time to get your coffee fix. Waiting an hour after you wake up. So as much as we love that hot cup of Joe, you know, they're using slang in this Fox News article. It says it turns out you might want to wait, take advantage of what coffee has to offer. Best time to drink it about an hour after. Your body is producing cortisol 3 times daily at its peaks. So if you wait and drink the coffee when you're producing this cortisol, it'll actually help you. So when you drink it and you're producing it, it's almost like you're working in tandem with it. So the coffee has better effects. They warn you, if you drink it early in the morning when your body's not producing this thing, you're probably drinking more coffee than you actually need to. So I almost like coffee just as a comfort. I like the way it tastes. I like the way it feels after I'm drinking it. I don't think I need to maximize the amount of coffee in the usage of this cortisol or whatever. I would prefer to drink two or three cups as opposed to one cup at the right time. It's just nice to drink coffee. Just a nice little added bonus. Ever since I started doing the late night shift here on KMOX, my coffee consumption was moved to the nighttime. So I normally don't drink coffee until I get here at the radio station. It's always, you know, after dinner. So maybe that's good, I guess. I haven't noticed any change in my body. I always used to drink coffee first thing in the morning. I've noticed no change switching it to night. Other than I don't really crave it in the morning. The days I'm off, I normally don't drink it first thing in the morning, mostly because I just drink it the night before, and I normally have it midday. But I don't know. I guess that study could be true. Oh, one last thing. We'll do this real quick because I'm on a food binge. Trump administration has dumped the Obama-era food lunch requirements. Agricultural Secretary Sonny Perdue says that Obama-era rules limiting the school's ability to provide meals that are both appetizing and nutritious wasn't that appetizing. How many times did you find that meals were being thrown out because they were forced to eat what was provided to them by the school? And then on top of that, the kids didn't want to eat it. There was some really sad-looking food that was produced by schools. Now, I don't know what it's like here in St. Louis. Maybe someone could help me. What does a regular lunch at a St. Louis public school look like? If anyone could answer that question, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I know what it looked like in Indiana. It wasn't all that great. I know some schools are better than others. Some put more effort into it than others. But I would love to find out what a public school lunch option would look like. So if your kids go to high school or maybe just graduated recently from high school, is it really as bad as some of these other schools are reporting? Just really sad? And then you have the whole issue of schools trying to dictate what your kids can and cannot eat. Well, you may even pack a lunch, bring it in, and they'll say, nope, you're not allowed to eat this here. And they'll force the kids to give up this food and throw it away because it doesn't meet their school guidelines. Now, that's ridiculous. If anything, rolling back these Obama-era regulations on school food, no school should be dictating what you send for your kid to eat at lunch. No school should be stepping in and stopping your kid from eating whatever you sent with them. No, it shouldn't happen. So at the very least, that's a good thing. But what does a school lunch look like in St. Louis? Is it just like a piece of fruit, a piece of bread, and something hot, like a piece of meat? Maybe if you can help me with that, we'll take some of your calls. Overnight America, KMOX. Looking at some of the menus across St. Louis, gruel, not on the menu. Wow, things look actually pretty good. Now, I would like to actually hear from someone that has experience of what's actually being fed. So you can look online, you can look at these menus. I'd actually like to talk to someone who had a kid in high school that was served the food at the high school and what their taste test, if they complained about it, if they liked it, if they didn't. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120 is the number. My freshman year in college was probably the greatest year I had for food because I had the pass to go eat twice a day. It was lunch and dinner, whatever it was. There's certain passes you'd have. And man, I would go and take advantage of that. And I swear they put laxatives in the food because it would hit me like a wrecking ball after. But having the access to getting whatever you want to drink was amazing. So you would go and get whatever juices you want. And I thought, all you can drink juice? Man, you don't even get that at restaurants. They give you a cup and then they may charge you again for one. So I was really into that sort of thing. But the high school experience, I never had lunch provided by a school because I went to Catholic grade school and high school and none of them had public lunch, like actual communal lunches. You couldn't buy lunch there. You always had to bring it in. Now, they would have a pizza day and you would buy, you know, a dollar a slice or whatever it was, but that doesn't really count. I never actually had cafeteria-style food through a school. So maybe St. Louis stepped up their game. Maybe. Or maybe not. Maybe you have different type of experiences, that sort of thing. Or if you want to text me what your experience was with the food, you can. at 314-436-7900. Chicago Tribune put this out. I don't understand this. There's actually two stories I don't understand. And we got a lot of, like, real stories to get to. And coming up in the next hour, they tell me something good. Singer Jason Mraz was in town. And such a cool story that is. St. Louis renaming a street in honor of a local entertainer. And Glenn Beck getting in on the buying the layaway toys at a Walmart. And we got some good, get me something good. But more importantly, I'd like to hear your good stories. We'll get that coming up after the CBS News break. A relaxed-looking juvenile Hawaiian monk seal hanging out on the beach. And there's something that's happening to these Hawaiian monk seals. They're getting eels stuck in their nose. I don't get it. Scientists don't quite understand it. All they know is every once in a while they get the email or they get called in, hey, another seal has an eel stuck in its nose. And that's not a Dr. Seuss book. I've seen a lot of kids' books. That, to me, is a perfect setup. That seal has an eel in its nose. Wow, that book is just waiting to write itself. It's so shocking, veterinarian said. A monk seal expert based in Hawaii told the Washington Post, it's an animal that has another animal stuck up its nose. I guess of all the places to be stuck, maybe we don't do that. The picture taken this year in the remote northwestern Hawaiian Islands gone viral, and it's exactly how you would imagine a sea lion, kind of like, you know, they call it a seal, but it kind of, to me, looks like a sea lion. When you go to the St. Louis Zoo and you see the sea lion show, it looks like one of those. And they're saying what they think is happening is that the seal is sticking its head underwater into certain cubbies, and it's scaring these eels, and they are just trying to find another place to go to. And, hey, look at that. There's a hole I can get into, and it's the seal's nose, so they get up there. Now, the hard part is trying to get these things out. It's just happening suddenly, they say. You see some very strange things. Watch nature long enough. But here it is in the past 40 years. They're still trying to figure out how this happens. The seal's preferred prey, usually fish, octopuses, and of course eels, like to hide in the coral reefs to avoid being eaten. So when a seal sticks its head in there, that may just be the last place it's going to try to escape. Eel in nose. What's the protocol? Sometimes you're on the job, and there is no protocol for these sort of things. You find out as it happens what the protocol is, because then you just deal with it when it gets there. So it says, I struggle to think of an eel really wanting to force its way into a nose. And you have to force it. It's not like it's getting in there easily, because once it's up there, it's stuck. And they kill the eel to get it out. So when it's lodged in there, the monk seal would not be able to close the blocked nostril when diving, when that means water can get into their lungs and cause a problem. And also, if the eel starts to decompose, it could cause infections. So they'll call the veterinarian in and basically pull this thing out. It takes like, what, 10, 15 minutes or whatever. It's not like you can just pull as hard as you can. You put your leg on the eel, you put the leg on the seal's shoulder and you grab the eel with two arms and you just pull as hard as you can. It's not, and then there's like a sound effect, a Yogi Barbera sound effect, like a stretching sound. It's nothing like that. It's actually probably painful for both sides. I don't know why you wouldn't just cut the eel and try to gut whatever's in there. Man, this sounds gross already. And then maybe it would be easier for it to get out. But if you are squirmy about that one, here's another story about something going in some place it doesn't belong. Chris Steele was performing his routine sword swallowing act in Atlanta. He would swallow 13 swords. Things didn't line up one day when he was forced down to his knee because of low ceilings. Now, if you're grabbing these gigs and you're a sword swallower, you're taking whatever you can get at this point. So he's in a venue and the ceilings are too low, so he has to get down on his knees, and then everything that would normally line up isn't. He ended up puncturing his esophagus, but he still did the show in another 16 inches down into his chest cavity. Spun him about 180 degrees, pulled him out. He said, once pulling them out, I knew something was really, really wrong. There's a lot of blood. So him and his wife, who perform as Captain and Maybell, bypassed a trip to the hospital. Why? Because they had another performance they had to get to, and they decided not to go for another two more days. If you're swallowing swords and you're bleeding out of your esophagus because you stuck a knife down there, you still stick more knives down and then you don't get it checked out? I don't know what the health insurance policy is of a sword swallower, but it's got to be hard to insure this guy. Maybe he just didn't want to pay whatever it would have cost. So he had to, what, $5,000 or something? Because he had to spend a night in ICU. None of his vital organs were damaged. He dodged a bullet there, but he was doing a GoFundMe. He was hoping people will give him some money for swallowing swords. Two stories of things that don't belong there. People are crazy. Eels are crazy. Seals are crazy. I need to write that book. I could go copyright that title right now. The Eel and the Seal. Up next, tell me something good. You got some good stories you'd like to share? I'd like to hear them. We do it right at 1 o'clock on Overnight America, KMOX.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.